Life podcast. We truly hope you'll be inspired and challenged today. Now, let's dive into this message with the family at Pleasant Ridge.
Let's take our Bibles. We're going to go to the book of Psalms here this morning. And we're going to look at quite a few different Psalms, not necessarily one in particular. As I mentioned, for the month of November, we were going to do some teaching on lamenting and what lamenting is and how that can be very helpful to us as believers. And I think that during the month of November, especially around this time of the year, we talk a lot about festivities and things, family getting together and stuff like that. We kind of look forward to those types of things. But also, I think that times like this can be very difficult for other people, probably because of some family situations, possibly loss of a spouse, loss of a family member, just different types of things that are going on. And so I thought it'd be helpful for all of us to see what God's Word has to say about how we can navigate difficulties in our life when it seems like things are falling apart. I did have some handouts. Did everybody get one? If you did not get one, I have a few extra up here. Does anybody need one? No? Okay, right over there. All right. Megan, would you mind? I'm going to give you your exercise today. All right? If you slip up your hand, Megan will get one to you. I want you to listen to some of these cries of pain that are coming from the psalmist here. Psalm 10:1 says, "Why, O Lord, do you stand far away? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble?" Psalm 13, verse number 1 says, "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me?" Psalms 22, 1 through 2, the psalmist says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me? From the words of my groaning, O my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer. And by night, but I find no rest." Job, after experiencing the loss of his livelihood, his family, and even his own health, had this to say in Job 3:11. "Why did I not die at birth, come out from the womb, and expire?" These are all cries to God out of despair and deep pain that these individuals were going through. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been there when it seems like the night is not going to end? When it seems like your heart has been ripped in two and there is no healing for it? And you're crying and crying and crying and experiencing deep pain and despair. In this life that we live, we experience pain, we experience loss, grief, despair, we are broken. We see and experience sadness, loss, grief, and agony every single day in and around the world. Sin and its results are evident in this life that we live. Our loved ones die, spouses die, children die, our family and friends suffer because of sickness. We too might be going through some personal suffering because of a sickness. Our family and friends betray us. We see family and fellow believers drift off into the world only to be consumed by it. We are hurt by the words and actions of others, and we too hurt others with our words and actions. We see and experience injustices. We are deceived by sin and enjoy its pleasures for a season, only to come away from it bruised, shamed, and broken. And if we are honest, all of us in one way or another have had these seasons or even experiencing these seasons of life where we feel so broken that we don't even know what to say or how to move forward. And so we wanted to spend some time and talk about this awesome way that God gives believers in Christ to actually pour out our pain and our despair and our brokenness before God so that a way we can experience His healing and His grace. And so this morning, we're going to lay some groundwork for what lamenting is. And this is what I want you to take away with you today. Lamenting is a powerful way to process pain and find hope. Lamenting is a powerful way to process pain and find hope. So let's talk a little bit about what it means to lament. What does it mean to lament? Well, if you look up the word lament in the dictionary, this is the definition that you will get. Dictionary definition is simply to mourn aloud, a crying out in grief. Sometimes we see this, when people experience some tragedy or loss, there is a crying out of their pain or grief that they are experiencing. However, in the Bible, lament is more than just sorrow or talking about sadness. It's more than walking through the stages of grief. Now, here's some biblical definitions of lament from some other pastors that I found to be very helpful. One person says it's a process in prayer in which we can work through extreme trials, find hope, restore joy, and even live victorious through the pain. Another man wrote, in moments of grief, despair and tragedy, God gives us the gift of lamenting in prayer. When we lament, we are directing our hearts toward heaven to the God who hears and cares for us. These prayers are beautiful gifts of grace. Another man wrote, a prayer in pain that leads to trust. So at its heart, to lament is to pray. And it's a certain kind of prayer. Now, if you're thinking, well, it sounds like lament is the opposite of praise. Well, it isn't. Instead, lament is a path to praise. As we're led through our brokenness and our disappointment, it's the space between brokenness and God's mercy. God is so merciful to us that He has given us the ability to lament and has provided for us examples through Scripture on how to lament. One of the most outspoken books in the Bible on the topic of lament is the book of Psalms. You may not know this, but one-third of the Psalms, 150 Psalms, one-third of those Psalms are psalms of lament. So this was a songbook that Israel used to worship God, and one-third of their worship included lamenting to God. Singing to God about their brokenness, about their pain, about their despair, about their discouragement, about their sorrow. They would sing that to God. In times of pain, I think all of us have maybe experienced this even, that in times of pain, what is it usually most people turn to find comfort? The Psalms. Because there's something about the Psalms, the way that they were written, people resonate with that because they see the pain, they see the hurt, and they see them crying out to God. And so a lament is a prayer in times of pain, but we find it goes a little bit deeper than that. We find that a lament prayer is an expression of our dissatisfaction of the circumstances that we are in, and we are directing them to God. And so this is an opportunity for us as believers in Christ that when we are experiencing the pain, when we're experiencing the grief, and we're carrying the sorrow, we turn that to God and we express those very things that we are experiencing to God out of pain, out of deep sorrow. You know, it isn't hard to pray this. The Lord is my light, my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Psalm 27:1. But I think we hesitate to pray this. Why, O Lord, do you stand far away? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? Psalms 10:1. Now, if you're thinking, Mike, that sounds like we are complaining to God. Yes, in a way, that's what lamenting involves, but not like how you may think that it is. We'll talk about a little bit more about that in just a second. So God gives us this gracious gift for us to express to him our deepest sorrows, our deepest pain, our grief, and to pour out those complaints before him. The psalmist tells us this in Psalm 62:8. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your hearts before him. God is a refuge for us. And so Scripture actually commands us to pour out our hearts before God. Hold nothing back. Pour it out, all of it, all the pain, all the agony, all the grief, all of it. We pour it out before God. Peter tells us in 1 Peter 5:7 to cast our anxieties on him, to cast it all on him. And the amazing thing is God wants us to hear. He wants to hear about our pain. He wants us to express our dissatisfaction to him. God wants us to lament. Let's look now at what a lament includes. What are the ingredients of a lament? When you read through the Psalms of lament, even in the book of Job or read through the book of Lamentations, there are four ingredients that you'll find that what a lament includes. Now, not all the Psalms of lament include these, okay, but a majority of them do. Okay? Now, these are not original with me. These are taken from the book Dark Clouds, Deep Mercy. I encourage you to get it, especially if you want to learn more about what lamenting is. It's a fantastic book. But these are the four ingredients that we find of what a lament includes. Number one, keep turning to the Lord. So an ingredient of lamenting is that we keep turning to the Lord. You know what our natural inclination is when we are experiencing despair and grief and sorrow? It's not to turn to the Lord. It's to turn away from him. And what we find in Scripture is these psalmists who wrote, even Jeremiah when he wrote Lamentations, when Job was speaking, there was this continual, consistent thing of turning back to the Lord continually, over and over and over and over again. And so we need to keep turning to the Lord in times of despair, brokenness, and grief. Our natural reaction sometimes is to deny it, to be in denial. Nothing's wrong. I'm fine. Everything's good. How you doing today? I'm fine. Right? We could be walking through the most darkest time in our life, and yet somebody asks us, how you doing? I'm doing well. Don't you see the smile on my face? And yet God wants us to turn to him and trust him. We say things like, I'm fine, I'll get through this. And we may even try to ignore it. We try not to think about it. We may avoid certain people or situations because we do not want to face the reality of it. We also try to numb it. People may throw themselves into their work. Others seek comfort by indulging in the things of the world that the world offers to try to distract themselves from the pain. No one, even believers in Christ, are exempt from grief, sadness, brokenness, or despair. So the reaction of the believer in Christ should always be to turn to the Lord, to turn to Him. Listen to what the psalmist writes in Psalm 4:1. Answer me when I call. O God of my righteousness, you have given me relief when I was in distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer. God is the only one who can mend our brokenness. And so we must turn to Him continually. In my counseling, from time to time, working with people and you talk to them about this is what Scripture says you need to do. This is what Scripture says you need, how you need to start walking this out. And sometimes I'll get this response. Oh, I've done that. It doesn't work. You've done what? Well, I prayed. Didn't work. You prayed what? Well, I just prayed, God help me. Okay. Let's back up. What are the specifics here? Are we actually following what Scripture says to do? Or I've done that. You prayed one time. We need to continually go to the Lord, continually, again and again and again and again and again and again. How urgent is your need? How much distress are you actually in? And so we have to continually go before Him and keep turning to the Lord. Secondly, another ingredient is bring your complaints. Bring your complaints. I always find it kind of humorous sometimes when you walk into a place and they have the suggestion box, aka complaint box. God actually wants us to bring our complaints to Him. Now, these complaints form the heart of lament. They are the reason we are sad before the Lord. When you read through the Psalms, Job, or even Lamentations, they can make us squirm. Listen to some of these Psalms. Psalm 131, out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. There's an exclamation point after that. Out of the depths I'm crying to you, O Lord. Hear my voice. See the passion there? See the complaint? Psalm 6:4, my soul too is utterly terrified. But you, O Lord, how long? It's bringing complaint. In more modern terms, we might say, I call to you, O Lord, and all I get is a busy signal. All I get is a voicemail, or I feel like you're ignoring me. We take our cries directly to the top. God, however, seems very, very far away. This is what the psalmist is expressing. I'm crying to you out of the depths, and I feel like you're not answering me. That's a complaint. That's a biblical, godly complaint. Psalm 22:3 says, oh my God, I cry out by day and you answer not, by night and there is no relief for me. Psalm 22:3. Psalm 13:2, how long, O Lord, will you utterly forget me? Which implies I'm at the end of my rope and I cannot hold on much longer. Psalm 10, verse number 1, why, O Lord, do you stand aloof? Why hide in times of distress? Which implies, I do not understand what is going on. This makes no sense. How long? Why? You see, these are not requests for information, but complaints born out of pain. So you might be thinking, Mike, am I really allowed to talk to God like that? Yes. Yes, you are. You might be thinking, but it seems so disrespectful to actually tell God that I feel like he's not answering me. I feel it's disrespectful to say something to God, say, God, I'm crying to you, but you're not listening. This is what God wants. He wants his children to bring a lament to him, to express our complaints out of grief. I think it's important to note that there are ungodly ways to complain to the Lord. We see in Scripture where people brought an ungodly complaint. One that really stands out in my mind is the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt and they're there in the wilderness and they complained and grumbled before the Lord. What were they complaining about? Manna again? It was so much better for us to be back in Egypt with the leeks and the garlic and everything. Oh, we should have just been there. That's an ungodly complaint. And there are godly complaints. You see, a grumbling is an ungodly complaint. It's grumbling in our heart. It's centered around unmet expectations or desires that we feel are entitled to. Our frustration turns to unbelief that God is good and wise, and we selfishly crave what we want instead of trusting in what God says we need. In contrast to that, a biblical complaint is expressed in sorrow that is wrapped in faith. It acknowledges God's sovereignty, his wisdom, his goodness, while recognizing the troubles of life and the pain that we are experiencing. And so a lament includes turning to the Lord and bringing your complaints. Thirdly, we need to ask boldly. After we've brought our complaints to God, we ask him to act, to do something. Our bold requests are anchored in God's character. We beg to him to intervene because he is just, because he is loving. And so the more that we get to know who God is through the scriptures, the more that we can rely upon his character and call his character and say, God, your word says that you are faithful, right? And we anchor our hope in who he is and we ask boldly. He is loving because he is faithful, because he keeps his promises. Healthy lament always moves us to asking God to work and move instead of getting stuck in complaint. We're asking God to do something. We're reminded in Hebrews 4:16 that because of what Jesus accomplished on the cross for us, we have confidence that we can pray boldly before his throne. Listen to this bold prayer from the psalmist, Psalm 17, verses 13 through 14. Arise, O Lord, confront him, subdue him. Deliver my soul from the wicked by your sword, from men by your hand, O Lord, from men of the world whose portion is in this life. The psalmist is actually asking God to confront him and subdue him, this person who is causing pain in this psalmist's life. God, I want you to confront him and subdue him. Do something about it. Fourthly, another ingredient of lamenting is to choose to trust. Choose to trust. The destination of lament is a heart that clings to the Lord of steadfast love. After we complain and ask God to intervene, we turn to hope. We choose to trust. If we know the promises of God and if he always keeps his promises, we can trust him. The psalmist declares this in Psalm 31:4, "But I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God." And isn't that the most difficult, thing that we find is choosing to trust the Lord? I mean, is that not even what the disciples struggled with? It's nothing new. And God wants us to throw ourselves on him and trust him, completely rely upon him, not in our own devices, not in our own imaginations, not in our own things, but to trust him completely, wholeheartedly. And so that's the ingredients of lamenting. Let's look lastly now at how lament shapes us. Because I think one of the things when we find when we lament and we actually go through this process of coming before the Lord and bringing our complaints and asking the Lord and trusting him, lament actually does something in our lives and it shapes us. I mean, is that not the whole thing of the Christian life? We are to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ till Christ be formed in you, is what Paul said. And so lament shapes us. How? How does lament shape us? Well, first of all, we recognize God's wisdom and power. When we lament, we begin to recognize God's wisdom and power. Often, I just did a funeral for a family, not this last week, the week before that. And sometimes, you know, I'll have the funeral home that'll call me and ask me to do a service for a family that, you know, there's no connection to church whatsoever. They don't have a pastor, anything like that. And so sometimes you're there with the family. You don't know anything about the individual that had passed away. You're entering into their grief. You're entering into their sorrow. And one of the things that I've seen, especially around funerals, you see how disoriented people are. Don't know what to do. Don't know where to turn. Very disoriented. And I think sorrow does that to us. It's almost we kind of enter into a fog, and we don't really know what's happening. We don't know what's going on. And so when we lament, we actually recognize God's wisdom and power. And one of the things that we need to understand is that we're finite creatures. God is infinite. He's all-powerful. He's all-wise. He's everlasting to everlasting is what Scripture tells us. And we're finite. The psalmist says that we were made a little bit lower than the angels. Right? And so as we lament, what it does is it shapes us in recognizing God's wisdom and power. And so we look to God in our pain. Because guess what? I don't have the wisdom to figure this out. I can't. And so we turn to God, who is all wise, and we trust him. And he works through his wisdom and his power. We don't have the answers, and we can do nothing without him. Secondly, the way that lament shapes us is we learn to trust God. Lament is a direct expression of trust in God. But the more we trust God with our sadness, the more likely we are to trust him with everything in our lives. I guess the question really is how much do we actually trust God? Do we trust him only for the small things? The things that we feel like, well, I can have a hand on it. God, you can have a hand on it. And we're going to kind of work together here. Or is it when it's in total chaos that we can trust God? We learn to trust God through lamenting. Thirdly, we understand more of God's grace and his love. In our darkest nights, we cry out to the Lord and bring nothing to Him but our needs. And as God meets and helps us, we see that His faithfulness is not based upon our behavior, but it's based upon His grace towards us. I mean, we just went through that whole thing out of Galatians, right? It's Jesus plus nothing. Grace and grace alone. And so we understand more of God's grace and His love. He's gracious and loving, and should we ever doubt, we have a cross of Jesus as a constant reminder that I can trust Him. Look what Jesus has accomplished for me on the cross. I can trust Him. He's been so gracious to me to give me salvation, to resurrect me from the dead. And I can trust Him, and He's gracious, and He's loving towards me. Fourthly, we become skilled in bearing others' burdens. When we bring our grief to the Lord, we become more aware of the grief of others. And I think this is why it's important, especially within church family, that when you have walked through grief and sorrow and difficulty and pain, and you know of another brother or sister that's going through something kind of similar, we are called to bear one another's burdens. And so this is where we can minister to one another, and we can bear up one another. We can hold them up because we too have experienced that. And as we lament, we can learn and say, hey, God is faithful. God is good. And so when I see a brother or sister in Christ who is struggling, I could come to them and I could remind them and say, listen, God is faithful. God is good. We can trust Him. Let's pray together. And it helps us become skilled in bearing others' burdens. Lastly, we learn how to look to Jesus. We learn how to look to Jesus. As we lament, we must remember Jesus. He's not only a model of lament, He's really the center of all of our lamenting. Hebrews chapter 12 reminds us this, that to always be looking to who? Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Or I also like, He is the founder and the perfecter of our faith. And so we need to be constantly looking to Jesus in all of that. Our greatest hope in every lament is that one day lament will be no more. Listen to the words that John writes in Revelation chapter 21, verse number 4. We read that in the New Jerusalem, it says that God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. One thing that we have to remember is what Jesus did on the cross for us. In securing our salvation, He also brought an end to death. He defeated death. He defeated the grave. He defeated the curse that was way back in Genesis 3. Jesus put an end to that. Isaiah 53 reminds us that Jesus was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. It says that He bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. He was smitten by God and afflicted. He was pierced for our transgressions and crushed for our iniquities. Jesus took the chastisement of God in order to bring us to peace. And it is through His wounds that we are healed, as we remember that it was our iniquities that were on Him that was laid. And so we are in good company with Jesus. Jesus went through everything that we experience in this life, all the sorrow, all the rejection, all the hatred, all the hurt, all the misunderstanding, all the difficulty. Jesus experienced all of it. And it says that we can come to Him And he is a good mediator, right? He's one that's able to sympathize with us and understand. And so we can pour out our complaints before God. We can trust God and we can turn to Jesus in every part of that. And so lamenting helps us to do that. And so I want to encourage you as we continue on through the rest of this month, that if there are some things that you are struggling with, things that you're walking through, difficulties, hardships right now, I want you to start the process of writing those things out as a prayer to God. And start praying those things. Everything that you are experiencing, every difficulty and hardship, all the grief that is in your heart, I want you to pour that out and write it out and start expressing that to God as a lament, as a prayer before Him. Let's pray together.
If you're interested in more information about our church or knowing the peace that Jesus gives, visit our website at lifeattheridge.church.